Anytime I've ever, like, let me put it this way. When I was at motorcycle school, a buddy of mine, he was from Idaho. So, and it was during Memorial Day weekend or spring break weekend or whatever, or Labor Day weekend. And so because we were in Daytona, he couldn't necessarily fly home to Idaho. So I was like, well, you know, screw it. Hop in the car.
Since this story takes place in Daytona, I'll tell you right now, I'm recording, just FYI.
Oh, okay. I'm not. Oh, sorry, no.
I know the story could go anyway.
No, what it is, you know, I invited him back to Nashville, so he hopped in the car, but I wanted to work on my book because I still had it all written out on paper, handwriting it. And so I was like, you know, here, just read this if you're bored, you know, because, he didn't know what else to do. So he starts reading it, and like every couple of pages, he just looks up at me while I'm driving. He's like, dude! I go, what? And you know, he doesn't say anything, and he goes back to reading another page or two, and he looks he's like, dude! And I'm like, what? He still didn't say anything. And then, you know, another couple of pages, he's like, dude! I go, what? And he goes, man, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever read in my entire life. I'm like, well, stop reading. He goes, I can. It's too good. I'm like, well, you're welcome.
It's always good when you find one of those books that you just can't put down no matter what the content.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what?
My problem coming in is writing dialogue. Yes. I'm not a big talker.
Reboot it all.
Like if you're on the phone with somebody, I want to get it done, talk to you later, bye. And that's it. I'm having a problem with dialogue. I know exactly from beginning to end what's going to happen in my book.
Yeah.
But just writing what people say is the hard part, too.
Yeah. My issue is that, like, I'm...
Some of the best stories have no dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some of my problem is that, like, I'm okay with dialogue, but I'm more of a descriptive writer. You know, like, I like to
paint... You're like a Hemingway.
Yeah, I like to paint the scene of, like, all the details of, like, what the room looks like. You know, like, from the bed to the chairs to the tables, you know, and that kind of
See,
stuff.
See, I'm more of a hands-off, give you enough of a description so you know where they're at, but leave it to your imagination, because that's what some of my favorite writers do. Like, I love Terry Brooks. I've read all his books. He gives you a little bit, but enough that it's in your mind what you see.
Well, I think there's extremes in either sides, but there's a time and a place to go either way, you know, in any form. But yeah, I think too far in one direction, either way, too much detail or not enough detail, you know, can be bad. Yeah,
I mean, I try to break it up.
There are those writers out there that give you way too much detail.
Yeah,
and sometimes that can be hard to trudge through. You know, you got to give enough detail to spur the imagination.
Yeah.
But not so much that the mind wants to wander off. But that being said, I am your host, Lawrence of America. This is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 85.
Yes.
And the motorcycle man is here beside me.
Joshua.
Hanging tough over there.
G-squared.
G-cubed.
And completely outrageous. Truly outrageous.
And completely pissed off. Heather.
Yeah, she needs to rant.
I am on a hellacious
why I'm wearing
fire streak
today,
right now.
Because she was so mad last night.
Yeah, Larry just let her do her rant.
She's
fixing the blow.
GQ, well, hey, we're not that kind of show.
No. I forgot. You have to be grammatically correct around these people.
GQ's wearing a New Kids on the Block t-shirt.
That's the
Hanging Tough reference. For those of you that weren't more alive in the late 80s.
Or just didn't care.
He did it for me. He did it for me, and I love him for it. So even if I did have to bribe him for it. Anyway, I am thoroughly livid seeing the new trailer for the movie. I mean, absolutely livid.
Which movie?
Gem and the Holograms. I mean, just completely...
I knew
completely.
This was what she was going to rant about.
Yeah, I know, but for people listening...
Yeah.
Yes. I am outrageously pissed and outrageously disappointed,
and
I will not be going to see the movie.
She's now on our level of all the movies been ruined for us.
Yeah.
All right, now... Believe it or not, I never watched any of the show as a young boy.
I did. So I had a sister, though.
I mean, I had a sister, too, but, you know.
We had one TV.
She was older,
So me and my sister, we're less than a year apart. So you're lucky.
A lot of people were kind of confused. Yeah, well, exactly what by the time I had a stepsister who was a couple of years younger, it was different. But so what's so different? What's wrong with this trailer that has enraged you?
Oh my gosh!
So much that you are turning.
I cried when I watched this trailer. It upset me that much. I have been a huge Gem and the Holograms fan my whole life. I watched every single episode. I had the dolls. I had the stage. I had everything.
She still has the dolls.
Still have the dolls. I watched this trailer, and I watched them completely bastardize this movie to the point that it's unrecognizable. The original point behind Gem and the Holograms was that Gem lost her father, and when he died, he tried to find a way to encourage her to go and be something more than she, than she believed she could be. And so he created this computer system called Synergy. Synergy projected holograms onto Jerrica and all of her bandmates to turn them into their persona of Gem and the Holograms. The computer was called Synergy. Synergy was almost kind of like, what's that computer off of Captain Planet? Do you remember the one I'm talking about? It was the Mother Earth thing that they had on Captain Planet. Yes, Aya. Or Gaia, or whatever her name was. Anyway, she was very similar to that, but she would project the holograms. She would make them their costumes, make them, they had a secret hideout that they had. They had the whole nine yards. Plus, Jerrica was the daughter of the owner of Starlight Enterprises. She was also the person who ran Starlight Foundation.
So what was
this is where I'm getting to it. She ran the Starlight Foundation, which was a home for orphaned girls. In this movie, they have turned Gem into a YouTube sensation. I could almost forgive that to some point. But they bring her into Starlight Enterprises as a singer. When Gem starts, you're thinking, okay, great, she's finally going to find Synergy. No. They bring in costume designers to make her into Gem. They give her wigs. They give her clothes. They totally recreate her persona as a person.
They take out the holograms part.
Yes, there's no reason for them to be Gem and the Holograms whatsoever. They could be Gem and random girls off the street for all it matters. There's no holograms. There's no magic to it. It
sounds like they are... going very much like the route they took in the Josie and the Pussycats.
To some degree, yes. I mean, it basically, that's what a lot of people are comparing it to, is Josie and the Pussycats. Why would you make a movie that's identical to somebody else's work already? Use what you already have as the structure and build from it. What is, I was saying this to him last night.
Well, even that, really, that movie was just based off other movies. Yeah. I mean,
well, yeah,
take this basic. There's a basic band plot succeeding type movie that,
and that's where they
fail. They're kind of cramming these names that we have nostalgia factored with.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of the Josie and the Pussycats movie was mainly just, as a giant, screw you to the to the music industry about, about product placement everywhere. And that's what a lot of that movie was about. Even the people who were in it admit that.
Well, here's what I made as a point to him last night.
And you even let me say, well, Garth, we'll never sell our souls. In fact, it gives me a headache. Thankfully, I have two little yellow Nuprin.
Yeah.
Because they hit that real big.
With Wayne's World.
Right.
Yeah.
It is our choice, and it's the choice of the new generation or the next generation.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as I was saying to Gary last night, I said, when they make a movie that is more for men based, you have Iron Man, he still has his mech suit. You have the Hulk, who was still created through radioactivity. You have the Spider-Man, was still bitten by a spider, or whatever his current story is at that time. You have all of these characters. Whatever. The point is that you have the characters and their backstories and how they were created. why is it so impossible for them to take a character that's female based and give her the same magic? Why is it impossible for them to turn around and take that away?
You're taking this into a...
No, no, I have a point to it. She has a power.
I don't think it's a sexist issue.
I understand.
I think it's just a bad marketing issue. Now, all the titles that you've mentioned were more comic-based and have also have a much more in-depth story. Jim and the Holograms, I'm not saying the story isn't in-depth, but there's not as much of it. It was a much smaller run, much more...
Three years.
It lasted 3 years.
Right. You're comparing it to characters that lasted 70.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, but they still could turn around and mess up the whole thing. I mean, honestly.
Right, and you know what? Most superhero comic movies that the hardcore fans hate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know what?
But you also have to remember, there's an established fan base.
Of all the comic book characters? Yeah.
No, for Jim and the Holograms as well. There is a huge fan base for them. And when you basically spit in their face and say, everything you know is gone.
It's exactly what Michael Bay has done to the Transformers.
Right, right. Oh, was this a Michael Bay movie?
No, no, but it should have been. This is John Chu.
If it was a Michael Bay movie, they'd have guns coming out of their guitars.
There'd be explosions everywhere.
Yeah. But, you know, they've left out her being part of Starlight. There's no home for orphan girls.
There's no magic.
There's no magic to this movie whatsoever. It is a basic run-of-the-mill.
We're just going to throw something out there for girls.
I mean, look, I can understand where Heather is coming from, because at the very least, if they wanted to, you know, bastardize it even further, or, you know, give it at least a little bit of credit, they could have given all the girls in the band a holographic ring when they put it on, and it actually put their their holographic clothes on.
I could have accepted that. You know, there is a reason they're called the Holograms.
Yeah, I mean, I've never read it.
When you take the hologram
the show,
out, they're nothing.
But I can understand where Heather's coming from.
Isn't it an earring? You know, I understand. But also, I mean, this movie is not for you.
But it's not for our kids
either. It should have been, though.
Because we're the ones that are going to take them to see it, because it's a fallback to our childhood. When you are knocking out the people who are going to take them, because I had plans to take my four nieces to go. It ain't happening now. It ain't happening now. Because I'm not going to watch them bastardize my childhood.
And this is the problem with a lot of these movies. Is that they do not get comic book fans to weigh in on when they're making these movies. Because, me personally, if I was in charge of a production company and I was making this movie, I would want to bring in like 7 or 8 of the most hardcore fans of this series and be like, all right, here's the script we've written.
I would say trash.
Now, what we need to fix.
Yeah, what do we need to fix to make it accurate?
The number one.
I got you.
It's like, what do we need to change to make it accurate? But here is our budget. This is what we have to work with.
They don't care.
You know, but you know, so what can we kind of tweak to make
our... I can tell you what to tweak. To get rid of Juliette Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay. She sucks anyway, but you know, just do the right thing. By the fans, do the right thing by the character.
Well, you know, there are literally thousands and thousands of examples where there's nothing in the movie has nothing in common with the original property except for the title.
Yeah, there's a lot of examples,
and that's a shame.
That.
So, and yeah,
because people are going because they know that title and they know the character, and when they leave, they're disillusioned because that's not the character they grew up with.
Now, it is a shame that this is a character that you felt connected to as a young girl. That you felt empowered you, that will not have that effect on a new generation. That is a shame. But at the same time, you brought up, I don't think you can say that it's being done this way because that character is a female.
Oh, I think it is. I honestly do.
She's still upset because there's nothing really out there for the females. Like
there's
with
not.
The Black Widow, there's no toys or anything for the girls. They brought Mark Ruffalo was bringing it up last week.
He has
daughters and he can't buy his daughters the action figures of the female characters.
Yeah, I mean there's nothing out there for girls to reach for.
I totally understand. And that exact example, we special ordered a Black Widow action figure for a customer. Now, we ordered like 3 of them, you know. but they kept canceling our order. Well, it's just because they didn't have them or wouldn't get them in. And it took us, you know, almost a year to get that darn action figure in.
That's crazy. Stupid.
That's crazy.
I mean, because
they just make that many, that fewer of them.
They make a limited edition run of them,
and that's,
pretty much.
That's because the problem, it's mostly because me and girls can't stuff. Walk into some place and have it readily available.
Yeah, I mean,
Gem and the Holograms was something readily available. It was in the Barbie section. It was there. It was something girls could walk in and say, oh my God, I want that doll. That's mine.
But the sad part, I mean, the truly sad part and the truly illogical part of these companies constantly saying, we want to get more female readership, more female fans, and yet they don't cater to them by actually making this stuff available whenever they want it.
I will totally agree with you in the fact that the toy industry tends to market heavily towards boys.
Absolutely.
Especially in action figures in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is because young boys tend to destroy action figures.
Girls tend to hold on to them forever, and guys will. Yeah, I break it. Mom's got to buy me a new one.
Yeah, girls will hang on to a Barbie for forever, but guys will use a Barbie for a Target. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you how many Barbies I tore apart in my lifetime. I can honestly tell you that.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what's up?
I had a friend who he would take his G.I. Joe action figures and put a little. Firecrackers in them.
Yeah.
And when he would be playing and they get shot, he would blow it up and his mom would buy him new ones. Now, the fact that his name was Trek, I think that's why. They were making up for the fact that his name was Trek.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's
but they
just
did
way
that.
Out there.
But they did that.
But boys do play toys. But another thing that really irked me was the message that they're kind of sending with this movie. We're going to bring you in. You have this amazing talent, but we're going to completely change who you are. And completely, you know, redo your look.
That, I'm assuming, is the point of the movie. Is them they're going to fight and overcome that and then be themselves.
Yeah.
That which is the basic plot of Josie and the Pussycats.
Any other movie that you put out there?
Airheads. I mean,
that's what.
Your basic band movie.
Yeah, the Hannah Montana movie.
Hannah Montana. That's what they're turning their into. Is Hannah Montana.
The Wanders.
The Monkees.
The monkeys. Yeah.
But another problem they have, the last thing that really just irked me is they don't even have the Misfits in this movie, which was their rival band. Who fought them in every single episode? They don't even have the Misfits in this movie. They basically just throw on the stage and they sing a song.
That's four people of the main eight characters.
Thank you.
Right.
There were nine characters.
They're not in the movie just from the trailer.
They're not. They're not even in the character list. They're not even in the.
You can say it if you from the casting, but just from the trailer.
Been following it like.
Yeah, I follow it like crazy, but they're not even in the casting. Yeah. It's pathetic, and I really just there's no way I'm going to fork out money to see it. I'm going to tell my nieces, don't bother. I just.
Well, anyone who's like been a diehard fan of that franchise. That movie will probably tank because they won't go see it.
They won't go see it. And I can tell you, I saw out of 400 messages on Facebook yesterday when the trailer was released. Out of the 400 messages that were there at that time, the F word was in there more times than I care to count because they ruined the movie.
I have to say this,
though. I can tell you honestly.
It's
going to
be like all the Michael Bay movies.
I'm not going to see it.
It's going to be like the Fantastic Four movie. People are going to go see it. We
just
can
not
say
the people that are the
people
fans.
who are fans of it are not going to see it.
No matter what you say, they buy these names, make a crappy movie with this name attached, and enough people will go see it. That they'll buy some other franchise, make a crappy movie with that name attached,
and repeat.
And instead of coming up with something original, they're going to either reboot or use something from the 80s, like cartoons. I pray they don't do this to a Voltron movie. If you're hearing us, don't make a Voltron movie and screw it up, please.
Don't give it to Chew or Bay.
I love Voltron. Do not do that, please.
Do not give it to Chew or Bay.
I'm okay. I will actually accept Transformers the way it is, as long as you don't ruin Voltron.
Well, I'd be, I'd be okay with seeing
it. Transformers is just a bad movie. Yeah. After the first one, it's just bad.
Yeah.
I'm not even a Transformers fan, and that movie is just bad.
Yeah. I never read any of the books, but I did watch the cartoons as a kid. But even I have to admit, the last one, The Age of Extinction, where they had the Dinobots, I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Here's the thing. They were there for 5 minutes of the movie.
In the trailer,
they were the main thing people were looking for.
Yeah.
And you never got Grimlock to say anything.
And just because I'm riding my feminist streak right now, where are the female Transformers?
Well, they were in the second movie.
There were female Transformers.
They were the motorcycles.
After the first
incarnation. No, they were. In the second movie.
They weren't.
In the second movie, they were motorcycles. They were cars.
I know. Well, I'm just saying, in the second movie, they were motorcycles.
In the original cartoon, you have the first part where it's the main, like, five or six Autobots. And then you have the movie. Right then, that's when they introduced more of the female characters into it.
They had a female Bumblebee.
Yeah, it was Ladybug. Yeah. Ladybug was, you know, one of the
main characters. Bumblebee, but a female
And
version.
They had RC.
Yeah. RC, yeah.
RC.
You know, not for nothing. I would have liked to ride that female Transformer
bike. Oh, my
bike.
God.
That goes into a weird level.
Wow.
Oh, you totally meant that in an innocent way, being a motorcycle fan.
No, not really. Not really.
I just said it to mess with everyone.
Okay, speaking of riding on an opposite sex's face, we started watching a show on Netflix called Grace and Frankie. Stars Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Martin Sheen, and it's a really good show.
I think I've heard about that.
It's a really good show. It's about these women that have been married to the men. The men are lawyers. They've been partners for like, they've been married for 40 years, been partners most of that time. And it turns out the guys are gay and leave both their wives for each other. And the show's actually about the Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin character. And it's actually a really good show. Really funny. They don't go way out there with it, but it's a really funny show. Just classic sitcom.
Oh, what about the anime you guys have been watching?
Sword Art Online.
Any good?
It is great.
Really good.
It is really good. It's basically, if you've ever thought about, you're playing a video game and you're like, if I was really in this game, what would I do?
So it's a remake of Dot Hack?
Basically.
I've never even seen Dot Hack, so...
Same premise. You play an online game, you get put in it for real.
So in other words, it's like Captain N, the Game Master.
No, in this, basically, your health points go down, you die. For real.
Oh.
You're in a virtual reality helmet type
thing. It's the same thing as Captain N and Dot Hack.
Yeah, but Captain N, he was kind of safe. It was Nintendo.
Yeah, but that has to do with Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love Captain N.
I never heard anybody describe a Saturday morning cartoon from the 80s with, boy, there's a lot of twincest in this movie. Yeah, or this show. And I heard somebody say that exact phrase Monday about Sword Art Online. And I just had to hang on. I'm like, I've never seen the show. I'm like, really?
No, but bringing up Captain N, the Game Master, I want to say one thing just as a throwback. Simon Belmont in that cartoon was a douchebag.
He was.
He was such a douchebag.
I never watched it.
I love that show.
Never watched it.
It was a thinly veiled advertisement for Nintendo products.
That's probably why I don't game. I don't do games.
Every episode was a different game. Like, in between certain parts of the episode, you might get a Legend of Zelda mini cartoon. You may get
Mario. What happened was there would be an hour, and the first half would be the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. And that's where that would be broke up into four parts.
Yeah.
And Monday through Thursday, you would have two Super Mario episodes, cartoons, and on Fridays, you'd have a Super Mario and a Zelda. And then it would be followed by Captain N. Captain N was a guy who got zapped into a Nintendo game, and him and a bunch of other video game characters had to save the video game multiverse world. Or it was like a solar system, really. And all the other games were their own world.
Yeah.
That must have come on after Gem and the Holograms, because after that show, I turned the TV off.
Simon there was more than one channel back then.
That's true.
I mean, I can distinctly remember back then, I mean, you had Mount Olympus from King Nicholas.
I only know Punch-Out, because I have all those shows on DVD.
See, my kids, we bought them the Mario ones. So they have all the Mario ones.
Yeah, the Shout Factory, you know, they put out a lot of the old shows and everything like that. They put out the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, then the Mario Brothers cartoons. Yeah. They can get it, and you can also get the Zelda cartoons.
Which were the Star Wars Mario episode was priceless.
You know, of course, you can also put out Captain N and the Game Master.
And was about to say Captain N and the Holograms.
I almost did. They're the ones that put out the original Jim and the Holograms. Mm-hmm. They also put out like Heathcliff, Garfield and Friends, U.S. Anchors.
I used to love Heathcliff.
I know.
Heathcliff, no one should. Never mind. Anyway. Go on.
That's a show we could agree on.
Yeah. Heathcliff was good. Garfield was great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Heathcliff. There was another one I used to like, had a cat on it too, and I can't remember what it was, but I wasn't big on Garfield and Friends. I did.
I loved the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons from back then.
So yeah, some of those were really good. I wasn't a huge
cartoon follower,
but I my main ones were Transformers, Voltron, and Gem and the Holograms. That was about my extent of cartoon watching, but later, as I got a little older, I'd watch some and rerun or whatever, and I'd kind of get attached to like Heathcliff and things like that. But
yeah, Fraggle Rock was always my favorite.
I didn't have HBO at the time that Fraggle Rock was on. So.
What do you mean?
Hell, it came on USA Network, didn't it?
No, it was on HBO.
No, it was HBO's first original program they ever did.
Yeah, I know, but eventually it was released.
It did go to USA Network later, but it was HBO.
You know, I didn't have cable either, but my dad had a really tall ladder.
And a black box.
Dad, it's time for Fraggle Rock. Come on, climb the ladder.
No. Back then, you just went up there and you just removed a filter. Now it's all digitized and encrypted from the
back
store.
In the day of stealing cable. Man, I was...
I missed the signal.
Rating the signal. I'll tell you,
my grandmother, she had one of those boxes that you did the little flip and you got all the channels. We'd watch all the little wrestling pay-per-views on it.
Yeah, the black box. Yeah,
the black box.
If you want to go get her, she's dead.
The buttons real fast so you don't get charged for certain things. Yeah.
Viacom can't touch her.
Hell, yeah. I remember trying to get channel 17, and the only way you could do it was by like turning the knob on the TV to in between 4 and 5.
Yes,
to get channel 17.
Remember right
The little second knob for the UHF?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
Having to adjust it one little click at a time. To get the right proportion.
Yeah, kids nowadays won't ever know about having to move the antenna to make sure you get it in just right.
Or stand there like a statue. Like a person in Las Vegas.
The struggle was real.
Sitting there holding it.
Well, here's the big disadvantage to the digital signal. Yes, it's more precise in it, but you either get it or you don't.
Exactly.
Right.
Analog, you'd be like, it's fuzzy, but I can still see the game.
Exactly.
I can still see the...
Yeah.
Right.
For some reason, every week when we watch Flash, there's always at least one signal interruption during the Flash.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Every single week.
It's weird.
And, but you know what? What he was saying about, you know, you can still see it. It's like, yeah, man, this football game is awesome, even with all this snow.
Well, think about
it. Arena.
Think about the new Poltergeist movie.
It's always snowing up there.
You don't have that
snow.
Up against the TV with the snow.
Yeah. Anyone
kids nowadays won't understand that.
Yeah, they don't. They won't get that reference.
Yeah, because the blue screen, you know, that's just
you can't really do it with blue screen.
Yeah, and HD works. 1080p flat screen plasma TV with snow.
I know. No. They'll never get that.
The only way you're getting that is if you purposefully put in a channel that does not exist.
Yeah, like channel 320 or something, you know.
So, pet peeve, you strung a bunch of buzzwords, not all of them go together. They don't really make plasma TVs anymore.
Wow. All right.
I was doing it for effect, okay?
No, I understand.
And you got the perfect effect.
Yeah.
Right. I get it. I get it. You know, the snow channels, the ant races, as we used to call them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going for the black one.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand still laugh, things like that.
I still laugh at people that stare at those channels for hours on end trying to make out, you know, like designs in the snow, like they're looking for white noise. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right, exactly.
There's better things you can do with your life, man.
That's exactly
well,
it.
I mean, the theory is that nothing is truly random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, they even made movies.
Yeah.
You know.
White noise.
Yeah.
You can't really do that now.
And white noise, too.
I mean, you can't do that with TVs. It's just blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is true. Right. And the blue one, the blue screens, in all fairness, once they've been on for a certain amount of time,
we'll
they turn
off.
Themselves off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
the TV went off, they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the kids today just don't know the struggle. It was real.
Yeah.
I remember a time when TV shut off, when there was nothing on at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you have channels that always have something going on.
Yeah.
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 All right. So, and something actually related to what we're supposed to talk about on this podcast, I see you have a huge stack of comics there.
I was fixing to start talking about comics.
We missed last week. We had car trouble, and I have to catch up.
By a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
So what all you
there
reading?
Was a lot.
I see Secret Wars in there,
Convergence.
Spider-Man,
Bill
and Ted. Actually, if you like the Bill and Ted movies, this has been really funny. It's been really good.
Excellent. Do you hear Keanu Reeves when you read the voices?
I do. I really do. And I'm hoping they make the third movie.
Dude.
Darth Vader has been really good. Convergence, I haven't been getting all the tie-in Convergence. But I will tell you.
The main title
has been really good. The first two, it's just some of the ones that you're like, oh, this is so cool. Gone in an instant. It's you gotta read it. Spider-Man 2099 and Silk and all the stuff he's reading.
Secret Wars,
you gotta get Secret Wars. If you're into Marvel, you gotta get Secret Wars.
I'm
see what they're
wait
doing.
For the trade to come out.
You gotta see what they're doing. Plus, of our generation, we remember the original Secret Wars. Did you read the original Secret Wars?
No.
I read the original Secret Wars. I had the action figures of Secret Wars. They all had the little shield with the little thing that you move it and it changes what it is. It was great.
Which that's a series of those are lenticular.
Lenticular, yeah, there you go.
There's a series of variant covers that
I saw that.
Vintage action figure, whatever. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah,
they did that before, but yeah.
I wish the Star Wars one would do more of those. Because I have the ones that are Luke, Darth Vader, Leia, and Han. I know they're coming out with they've announced they're doing a Lando comic book soon. I want Chewbacca. I want C-3PO and R2-D2 ones that are like that. I want a whole set
comic
of the original
paper
characters.
Dolls.
Paper dolls. You're funny. But yeah, Convergence has been really good. Secret Wars is basically Convergence for Marvel. They're basically the same storyline.
I'm sure Marvel would have an issue with you calling it that.
I'm sure they would, but here's the thing. It's the same thing the other way around. Convergence is just Secret Wars for DC. I still say, if they really want to capture on it perfectly, both of them need to either have Amalgam as one of the universes in there, or for Marvel, have a DC universe that gets destroyed, and for DC, have a Marvel universe that gets destroyed. Work together on that. You're doing the exact same storyline. Different universes come together. They fight. That's exactly what Convergence is. That's exactly what Secret Wars is. They announce it. It's the exact same thing.
They could have done a DC Marvel crossover
very
easily.
They did. Amalgam. Years ago, they did that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were talking about.
That's what I'm saying. They should do that as a universe in itself for both of them. It would be a throwback. It'd be great. And Amalgam was a good story. It started off with you take the top people from DC, you take the top people from Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to win in a fight? You got to vote.
You're right.
You got to vote who was going to win. and it was Superman versus the Hulk. Who else was it?
That's easy. Superman can fly.
Superman did win. All he had to do was take Hulk far enough up that he had to breathe and couldn't breathe anymore. Superman can hold his breath for a super long time.
No pun intended.
Well, also, man, Superman can fire laser beams out of knives.
Yes, but Hulk also has his healing factor that can heal, just like Doomsday. But...
And Doomsday couldn't fly either.
No. But... Once you did something to Doomsday, he was invulnerable to it next time. So once he did the heat vision to him, and like it cut him, and then he came back together, the heat vision didn't hurt him anymore. But that's basically what they did. But in Amalgam, when they finally came together, they took one DC character and one Marvel character and put them together. Like you had Superman, Captain America together as Super Soldier. You had Superboy and Spider-Man together as Spider-Boy. You had, best one was Wolverine and Batman together as Dark Claw. And his bad guy was Sabretooth and Joker put together to make the Jackal.
It was crazy. That's a wicked mix-up right there.
I've actually got a couple of those at home that we searched out to find. Because I was talking to my kids about it and wanted to find the comic books and bought them some. They put Iron Man and Green Lantern together.
Well, that would be really good.
So, I think that's what they... I think that'd be
the
great
Iron
to
Lantern.
Do.
Yeah, the Iron Lantern.
That's what it was called.
But,
didn't be Green Man?
Green Man. Green Man. Because
then he'd be Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, I read Green Lantern... Or, not Green.
Actually, the Green Man is...
Yeah,
a mythical creature, a mythical figure.
I read Red Lantern trade number 4 over the weekend, and number 3, I think. I love both of them. I'm still loving the storylines. I think they're great. I'm reading number 5 right now, and Supergirl is, you know, coming to the mix with her own Red Ring. So it's definitely going to be an interesting toss-up. I'm about a third of the way through the book, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
My middle son's into the Green Lantern stuff, so we got some of the tie-ins for
it. Yeah, and it's got quite a few of the tie-ins throughout the books of, like, you know, the Green Lantern and the White Lantern and all that. I will say this, though. I am going to be fairly sad that they're going to be discontinuing the Red Lantern books, but oh well.
Yeah, who knows how long that'll last.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they do bring it back, I hope they, you know, get the same people that, you know.
Did you ever read any of the Larfleets?
No, but it's on my to-do list.
It's actually really funny.
Yeah, me and Heather were talking about that, about, you know, or, no, we were, about, like, you know, why, you know, I would really like to know, like, everything, like, of the backstory, because there was, all, you know, all these Orange Lanterns, like, what happened to all of them, like, where is all of that history? You know, because you could do a couple trades just for that.
You know what their oath is?
Yeah,
mine. Yeah, what's mine is mine,
not yours. We actually, he was actually on Green Lantern, the animated series.
Yeah,
which is a good series.
Yeah, I saw that. It is good.
I love that series.
You know, but we were also talking, you know, me and Heather, we were also talking about, you know, series that should be done that they haven't done. It's like, you know, they're constantly looking for new stories to tell and whatnot. It's like, well, you know what? Why don't you do one for Ra's al Ghul? The dude's 600 years old.
Yeah.
You could have plenty of story for him. I mean, because hell, even if you wrote a book per week, you could have enough books to fill 10 years worth of readership and still not go through 600 years.
And there's got to be things in his life that he did that were not bad.
Yeah. I mean, you could fill in...
Because he's not an evil person.
Yeah, I mean, you could fill in plenty of downfalls of civilizations, not to mention personal backstory, not to mention backstory of the
League. Throw in some Batman here.
Yeah, and Batman and, you know, Green Arrow and, you know...
When he brought back Jason.
Awesome yeah. idea. When he brought back Jason Todd.
Yeah. I mean, you could fill in so... You could write an entire... series and turn them into trades and fill up just shelves and shelves and shelves of 600 years worth of stories.
Exactly my point. I think
bye.
Bye guys.
Bye Jules.
Thanks for stopping by.
I'm curious about this.
I do think Marvel and DC should, even some of the other ones, they need to
drum up interest.
Ask
yeah
what their readership wants. sometime.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I was saying last week, you know. You know, even if they just wanted to put like their main characters off to the side for like a year or two, I mean, they could do stories for the Black Canary, for Ra's al Ghul, for the Blue Lanterns, oh, yes. for the Violet, for the yeah. Indigos, for the Orange Lanterns. I mean, you could do one for Green Arrow's daughter, Artemis. You could do one for Joker's daughter. I mean, there's just handfuls of characters they could do.
There's a lot of things you could do. There's a lot of heroes in the Justice League and in the Avengers that are not out there a lot. I just think that there'd be a drop-off in readership of those comic books.
Yeah, but you could even do books of just the villains. I mean, you could do one, you know, for Riddler, for Penguin, for Joker, for, you know, for, yeah, for Mr. Freeze.
They did one comic book,
you know,
one of them.
You know, for Killer Croc, for Victor Zsasz.
Yeah, they had a villain month
okay, well,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, not last year, but the year before, I believe.
Yeah,
where, basically they did point ones that were villains.
23.
That's where they introduced Joker.
Joker's daughter, yeah.
Okay.
But every villain basically got their own title.
It was a nice little story.
Oh, I started playing Batman Arkham Asylum.
We finished that yesterday. 100% complete.
It did not take me as long to beat that as I thought it would have.
But have you gotten all the Riddler trophies and all the riddles and all that stuff?
Yeah. Now, I'm about 40% of the way through Arkham City. I'm actually enjoying that way more.
Arkham City is a lot better.
Yeah.
We're doing Batman month for us. Because we're going to go see Adam West next month, and Arkham Knight comes out next month. So we're watching the 66 Batman, watching Batman the Animated Series. We just started Arkham City yesterday. We're going for 100% completion.
Yeah. Adam West is way better in Family Guy, played himself than he ever was in Batman.
He was good on the Fairly Odd Parents. It's TV's Adam West.
By the way, I'm going to give you a piece of advice for Arkham City.
Yeah.
Like, part of the Riddler trophies is breaking items.
Oh, we've already beaten before.
Oh, okay.
We're just redoing it.
This is a rerun.
I thought you hadn't played it yet then.
Right. No, we've gotten all of them before. We're just redoing it.
I'm having a hell of a time trying to find like all the cameras and the balloons sometimes.
He beat it at his mom's house in 2 days.
Wow.
We're just doing it as like, we'll sit there and we'll be passing it along between the four.
Whenever somebody dies, we're just like, here you go.
Okay. I finished reading Sunstone Volume 2.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was so good. It was so good. The artwork was still just as good as the first book. Like, some of the photographs, you know, they look like photographs, but they actually are drawn so well, they actually look like real photographs, which is crazy. But, like, they did quite a bit of backstory for Allison in the book, and it... And, like, every now and again, you'll see, like, rope knotting borders around, you know, some of the pages or some of the pictures. And they kind of, it's kind of a tie-in into the book of, like, what that kind of represents. So, you know, it's really good. I'm really wanting to read the third one now. I mean, because I know that they're going to probably come out with a third one. And I'm just really looking forward to it. So, yeah, it's definitely a must-read. And I actually put a review on I sent one to Gomer for outrightgeekery.com, so maybe it'll be up on the site soon. So, anytime I finish like reading a trade, you know, because I go through Goodreads and it'll post it to my Facebook page. He sent me a Facebook message. He's like, "Why isn't this on Outright Geekery?" And I go, "All right, fine. I'm sorry." And then I started doing reviews. Like anytime I finish one,
okay. I sent him one last night too. So
I would be doing it, but I put off reading comic books till there's like 4 or 5 of them. I don't want to read one comic book and then have to wait next month for the next one.
Well, and really, because Trey, it's hard to judge. It's like judging a single comic is often like judging a chapter in a story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Convergence, I will do one for Convergence when it's done.
Yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, that book that I was reading, Game Slaves, I finished it. It's a decent book. It's not like an absolute must read, but it's a decent book just to read if you want to read something. But I will say this, there is a lot of like political issues that are in that book that are actually prevalent and could be tied into real things that are happening now. You know,
so it's kind of a political satire.
It has a lot of political satire to it, but things that could actually happen in the future if things go a certain way now. So
it might be interesting. I may have to check that one out.
Like, not from the aspect of video games per se, but you know, other things that have happened in the book, you know, along with it. So
cool.
Yeah,
well, you know, we've had a lot of things going on, you know, newsworthy, and around the world we have a second earthquake in Nepal, which is just unreal. They have several stars who are coming together to put money together for them, and there was one that was a comic book here, and I forget who it was, but it was Captain America. He put like $2.5 million.
Chris Evans.
Yes, Chris Evans put $2.5 million in to help with the relief there in Nepal. You know, because after 2 7-point-something earthquakes in a row within like 2 weeks of each other,
I mean, destroy any place.
It's destroyed.
Yeah.
So.
But and then you know, they shot down the trade agreement that the Republican side was trying to push through, which basically made the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and the safety standards go way down and make people work themselves to death.
It's always going to be like that.
So luckily that it didn't go through.
Here's something I hate to break to you. A lot of people don't believe in trickle-down economics. But
yeah, I don't, because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and here's how. Now you're thinking that means that the rich get richer and that trickles on down, but the principles are true in the fact that if you charge something to a rich person, it's going to get passed on. No corporation pays any kind of tax.
Yeah,
all tax are paid by the consumer in one form or another,
mm-hmm. and that's bullshit.
That's because it trickles down. That is the basis of trickle down economics.
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
No, it's not whether it works
or
not.
Work it's just the way it works for them.
That's just the fact. It works for them, but it doesn't work for us.
That's the way the economy works.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't actually work. That's what I'm saying.
That's just the nature of the economy.
Yeah,
and the only thing overregulating it does is increase that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, if the rich actually paid taxes, then the poor and what's left in the middle class wouldn't actually have to pay as much.
There's so many ways to get around
paying
taxes.
They pay what we've paid them to pay taxes.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, they pay no taxes and they get kickbacks from us for not paying taxes, which I find absolutely ridiculous.
And that has to do with corporate personhood.
Yeah.
As soon as that was passed, then, you know.
Yeah. I know.
Corporations can donate an unlimited amount.
They already do. I mean, they're already.
Corporations used not to be able to donate to politicians.
Yeah. I know, and that's the problem, because ever since Citizens United, it's gone completely to hell. But
I hate to break it to you. Citizens United was just the last in a long.
Yeah, I know it was the last. It was the last, you know, keyhole. But
I'm not saying it's right or anything.
But they're expecting like what, $2 or $3 billion almost per candidate to be spent on this presidential election cycle. I mean, aren't we?
Billion
with a B.
Here's the thing. All the money, I mean, all that the money that the candidates spend come from the same handful of companies.
Yeah.
It's
the ones that benefit the
Which
most.
Are mainly the oil and gas companies and chemical companies. And
the government gives
like
the government gives each person who runs a certain amount of money. So if you could get enough percentage of the vote in 4 years, you'd get money to run again.
Yeah.
Or your party would, but it's like 30%.
Well, the issue is that over in England, like I just heard about this the other day. Over there, they are only allowed to spend from $30 to $50 million on an election cycle. Yep. Only $30 to $50 million. That's probably what they were spending like back in what 1970 here.
But you also got to think that they also have an entire house that you can only be born eligible into.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're the House of Lords. Now, if it's the House of Commons, it's kind of a different story.
Right, right. So they have a noble class that yeah. is allowed to rule, and then a free, open class.
Yeah. But at least it's somewhat balanced over here. It's not balanced at all, really.
But we keep electing them in, so
well, yeah.
it is balanced. We just keep doing it.
I try to elect the right people in, not the people that are...
Nobody's right.
Well, you know...
Anybody that's sent right. to Washington, no matter how good their intentions are, when they get there,
get
the
corrupted.
First time somebody hands them some money to do something, they're going to do it. Why? Because everybody's greedy. There's a reason why communism can't work. Everybody's greedy.
Yeah. Or socialism.
You look at communism countries, there's always that group that's the hierarchy that gets everything, and then they're like, oh, well, everybody gets the same. Well, you don't. You get more.
Well, that's the difference between communism and socialism. Socialism is everybody evenly distributed.
Yeah.
Where, the many care for everybody, whereas communism is the few care for everybody.
Right.
You know, but, you know, the political debate, you know, you can go on and on. It's not me. It's not what we are here to discuss.
Yeah.
It started from a comic. It started from some comic you were
talking about. We actually started from a book originally. A book. Yeah, a book discussion.
It just
then,
all evolves.
Yeah,
it's
then
a natural
free
form. That's how conversations go.
Natural free form, flowing form, you know. It's
that's
easy.
Why I keep telling people this is a gorilla podcast. You know, we talk about anything and everything.
Anything and everything.
Any innate idea that pops into our heads at any given moment. I went to Zany's Comedy Club last night. Yeah, that just proves the point. And Rick Roberts, who does the School of Laughs podcast and the School of Comedy School, he had a graduating class there last night. Quite a few of the people there were pretty funny. You know, got a good couple of chuckles. So, yeah.
A couple of chuckles?
Well, I mean,
I don't think I want to go to a show where you only get a couple of chuckles.
Well, no, I mean, a couple of people, we were, you know, everyone was laughing pretty hard, but, you know, a couple of people were kind of, you know, felt like they were struggling through it. But, they were trying their best, so you can't fault them for that. I still had fun, though.
At least they had the nerve to get up there.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you get up there and you bomb, you had the nerve to get up there.
But the cool thing is I had a ticket to get two people in for free other than the one that I already had. So I let one lady get in for free because she was going to have to buy a ticket otherwise. And I just decided to be nice. And then I had an extra ticket and I gave it to these two people just randomly. I'm like, you don't have to pay for your tickets. And I wound up getting seated next to them. So by the time, you know, because you have to order two items. So I had a Coke and some fried pickles. So at the end of the night, they were like, you know what, here. They practically grabbed the ticket out of my hand. They're like, "We got your food bill. Don't worry about it. You got us in for
when you're
free.
Nice. You when go. You're nice to people, so, it comes back around."
Yeah. So all I spent was like $5 in gas.
Not bad.
I got dinner. I got dinner in the show.
That always
for
helps.
Free.
That always helps.
Yeah.
We do stuff like that too. Occasionally, we went down to Orlando and we had bought tickets. They were buy one get one free for Medieval Times. We ended up giving the extra ticket to somebody else so they didn't have to pay to get in. It all works out in the end because everyone gets to enjoy it. You save some money, you go for it. And,
yeah. Well, I still got a couple tickets left, so you know, hopefully if we can finish our D&D game tonight, which I doubt, I'm probably going to go next Wednesday because they're having girl-on-girl comedy night. So.
Oh my god. Crazy.
Yeah.
And scene. Alright, so. Final thoughts? Don't want to hear them. Final thoughts?
No, go ahead.
I'm just
go.
Messing with you.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Tell us about that girl on girl.
No.
Your dreams of you know, mechanical penetration.
Anyways, all right. Next Thursday, the 20th.
What was the latest on Ellen?
So next Thursday on the 21st of May is Tabletop Day down at the Gallatin Public Library. It's from 5 to 7. And I'm probably I might try and bring Betrayal at House on the Hill or Pandemic, since they don't have those yet. So, you know. And then the 23rd is JaveCon out in Lebanon, Tennessee at Cumberland University. So I'll be there for Outright Geekery doing press coverage again. So it's a one-day thing. So, yeah, cool.
Favorite new kid?
None. Actually, I'd have to go with Joe. I liked him when he was a little kid. I could when I was that age, I could hit those kind of high notes too. Oh, then my voice dropped, and I couldn't hit any of them.
Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot. Good night, Elaine. And then
he's putting it all the way in.
And then. Okay.
Girl, I'm
and then,
hey, it sounds,
wow, that just, wow.
Sorry. All right, well, oh, and Friday.
Sorry, Elaine. Yeah, that's how we're going to have right. to start doing it. Sorry, right. Elaine.
Yeah. All right, and Friday is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. So, I'll be 34.
Ooh, baby. You're young. Good for you.
Oh, ooh, you're young.
The chair's about to break.
We've now established probably. That little Gary is only this is the youngest, and you are the next youngest at this table.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my
so
goodness.
Back to your final thought.
Sorry.
If you haven't checked out any of the Netflix originals, check them out. There's actually
there's
really good ones on there.
Some good ones.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt makes me laugh.
I still haven't watched that yet. Need to.
No, it's very sitcom-y, but it's good. I like it.
Anything
next?
I'm ready for the finale for Flash.
Yes.
It's gotten really good. It's built up great. I'm ready to see how they're going to end it.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was good last night.
I wasn't able to see it because I was at the
I'm not
going to
ruin
show.
It, but I'll tell you, it was really
good. Yeah, when I get home, I'm going to watch
Final
it.
Final thoughts, Heather?
Not seeing Jem. Looking forward to my New Kids concert. And I'm looking forward to Fanboy Expo beginning of June. So we're going to have fun with that. And if I get these costumes done in time, we'll look halfway decent. So.
All right, and especially guest star J. Jonah Jesse and friends stopping in. Any thing you'd like to say?
I mean, it pretty much just goes down to my usual thing I say when I don't have anything to say. Excelsior.
There you go.
Okay.
Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Someone's got a narrative Stan Lee does.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to pay Stan Lee to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I do it, because I do it for free.
And free is always better.
And that's an advertisement. If anyone wants me to go say Excelsior at your parties, you know, family functions, work right. functions.
All right, Jason.
Just
news.
Feed you.
Yeah. And that's it.
All right.
What comics you got?
Secret Wars 2, because that just came out today. Also got the new Thor that came out today. Apparently that apparently is going to reveal who the female Thor is.
They already released it on Marvel.com.
Yeah, but I don't look at that.
It was bad. No, it was bad that they released it prior to the comic book coming out.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That's really poor.
It was on Facebook.
Like
it was on Facebook.
Walking
I was just scrolling through Facebook, and there it was. Yeah, I was really upset about
why
it.
Why would they do that? That's so stupid. That's just an absolute it's spoiler, and it makes no one want to even buy the book.
That
it's like,
hilarious.
All right, well, I know what happens.
Well, they just the female Thor is Hillary Clinton.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
But yeah, Mythic, which I've been interested in seeing what this title is going to be like. It's also at a great price point of $1.99, so how can you not pick it up?
Oh, an old school
They've
price.
Done a couple of that. Like, they did the last week, Invincible was 25 cents.
Yeah, I mean, Image does great things. I mean, all their trades, their first trades of any title that comes out is at $9.99.
Yeah, like Skull Kickers.
Starting to do that too now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're making a big push. Of course, they only put out 10 titles a month, and they're keeping it down low. But they saw that and realized it's a good way to get you in. You know, so it means you can get two trades at buy one, get one half off here at Comics E2 for only $15 and check out two new titles.
Which is sweet. Yeah, that's what I did with the Skullkickers Volume 1 and 2 trades, and I'm fixing to start reading that. Thanks to Jesse for suggesting it.
Skullkickers was not me. I believe that was Gamer.
Well, it was one of you two. I don't know. You're both tall.
You know, one of y'all people with hair.
Yeah. And taller than me.
One with long a hair and one with an afro.
Yeah.
Yeah, we miss our afro man.
Yeah. Yeah, he had to get a real job.
I know. Enter the real world.
Another kid. Real job.
Well, another gear in the cog.
He's one of the few people I don't mind reproducing. Because his kids are well behaved. And that's hard to find. I'm not very little person friendly. I'm sorry. All right. Also, I would like to say happy birthday, Elaine. She had her birthday yesterday or whatever.
Happy birthday, Elaine.
Happy birthday.
As much grief as we give you.
Mainly, it's all directed towards Jules. It's not
really. It is. It's nothing personal, Elaine. We only mess with you to give Jules a hard time. So, if you want to in turn give him a hard time for us on our behalf, we appreciate that.
She does, and it's good.
That'll be fun.
The equal opportunity harassment to Jules.
But we'll see you next week for another fabulous episode of Geeks of the Square Table. Check us out here at ComicC2.com or in Madison, Tennessee, in real life, as the kids say. Outrightgeekery.com or find this podcast free on iTunes, but you probably knew that already. All right, see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, I'm missing comments. I gotta go find them.